This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Human-Animal Connection Show, where we believe we can communicate with all animals. Join us as we explore the 33 principles and healing methods of the human-animal connection. As animal lovers, we know that you share our commitment to making the world a kinder place for all creatures. Together, let's embrace the transformative healing power of the human-animal connection.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Human-Animal Connection. My name is Jeannie Joseph. I'm the founder and your host of the Human-Animal Connection podcast. And I'm delighted to have Shel Graves with me. She is both an animal chaplain and a dog and cat behavioral specialist. And she does services virtually and in person in the Seattle area. So, Shel, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. Now, just tell the folks a little bit in case they don't know. You and I are both animal chaplains, but in case people don't know what that means, give us a little explanation of what an animal chaplain might do.
Yes. So an animal chaplain is someone who provides emotional and spiritual care for people who care deeply about animals and often for the animals themselves. So that can be providing cooperative care, emotional support, help at end of life, help with animals who are grieving.
Mm-hmm. The whole range of experience that people and animals who share their lives go through. Definitely. Definitely. Well, let's talk a little bit about, let's start with how we can boost the happiness of the animals who share their lives with us, cats, dogs, or whomever. What are some ideas that you have that could help our audience to make sure that their animals are happier living with them?
Yes. So before I became an animal chaplain and worked as Shel Graves Animal Consulting, I worked in shelter and rescue for 7 years. And we did a lot of, the animals there came from cruelty and neglect situations. So they were experiencing a lot of fear, stress, anxiety, and frustration. And I learned a lot there, and we did a lot of things there to help reduce their fear, anxiety, and stress, and help them feel more confident, at ease, playful, and safe. And I realized that while the animals in our homes, they are fortunate, they have us, they still do experience some stress from just, you know, being animals trying to fit into our human world and our human routines. And they do experience stress for things like waiting for us to get home, waiting for us to be done with our work if we're already at home. You know, they're often in a little bit of a stress pattern waiting for us to spend time with them. So there are things that we can do. And I, first of all, I want to say thank you to everyone, because you're already doing the number one thing that can be helpful, which is you're thinking about your animal's happiness. So that really is, you know, maybe a different approach, not just thinking about, you know, how the animal can benefit you in the home, but how you can think about making their life richer and happier. That's, you're already doing that just by listening to this podcast. So feel reassured.
You're doing good. Good. You're a good person.
The other thing that you can do that is really helpful is to know what it looks like when your dog or cat or the animal living in your home, what does it look like when they're happy? Animals are always talking to us, but they're using their body language. You know, they have a different way of expressing. They don't speak our language, but they are always communicating with us. So really getting to know what it looks like when your individual dog and cat, animal companion, what it looks like when they're happy. And then you can also, if you're not sure, you can ask them. So I recommend doing consent tests. So if you're not sure if your animal is enjoying something, say you're petting your animal, if it's a new rescue, pause for a few seconds, watch their reaction, and they will tell you how they feel about that interaction. And
absolutely.
Also, ask their preferences. You know, do they prefer this treat or that treat? You can ask them if that's something that they enjoy, and they'll tell you, you know, which is their favorite food? What is their favorite game? Just knowing what their favorite things are is another way to really boost their happiness.
Yeah, that's so important. Like you mentioned, example, I also volunteered in shelter for years and years. And it's really important to pay attention. We talk about in the human-animal connection, the towards and away signal. Is the animal giving you a towards, meaning, yes, I like this, do more of it. Or no, this is making me uncomfortable. I don't want any more of this. And sometimes it can be very subtle. It can be a change of eyes, you know, they're looking away or turning their head away or moving away. Sometimes it's very obvious, like leaving. You know, but sometimes it's subtler. And so, as you mentioned, that pause technique is very powerful to just stop doing what you're doing, even though you think it might be a great thing. And it might be many times. It may or may not be perfect in this moment. Yeah, so just giving yourself the chance to pause and get a sense of yes or no, towards or away. Is the animal lean back into you and look at you like, why'd you stop petting? Or did the animal get up and go once they felt they had the choice to do that? So yeah, that's so important. That's really good. All right, what's another way that we can...
The third thing that I think is really important is to let your animal have hobbies. So there are so many things that, you know, in our homes, we may say that we don't want them to dig or scratch. A lot of times we find ourselves saying no to our animals. So one of the best things you can do is look for ways to say yes. Imagine if you were able to do your favorite things. What if you couldn't go see movies or do crafting or play your favorite sport or watch your favorite TV show? How would you feel about that? And a lot of times our animals are in that situation where the things they want to do, you know, dogs love to forage, cats want to hunt. They are not given those opportunities. And we do our animals a disservice when we make life too boring, too easy, and we don't let them have hobbies so they can express their natural behaviors. This is what we love about animals. We love their behavior. We love it when they are playful, when they are wagging their bodies, doing the things that in the way that they do them that maybe we don't. Those are what we love about them. So give them ways to express those natural dog behaviors and cat behaviors so that they can enjoy those too.
So what's an example of how we could mimic some natural behaviors for dogs, and if they're living with us in a house or apartment or something that's not nature, what can they do that would mimic that?
So one of the things that we do, feeding time is a really important one. And sometimes we just give them the food in a bowl. And so that's kind of a boring way to go about it. Think about it. It's always fast food. Sometimes you want to have a fine dining approach. Sometimes you want to have a picnic. So you can give them those same meals. And again, you know your animal best. So you know what their preferences are. So don't always take my word for it. You'll want to know what your animal prefers. But you might consider seeing if they would like some different ways to enjoy their meals. So those could be food puzzles. You can offer the treat scatters. You can offer the kibbles scattered outside if that's in a safe way for dogs, so that they can hunt and forage, or use a snuffle mat. You can use lick mats for wet food. So there's lots of different ways that animals can enjoy the meals. It doesn't have to be in addition. It can be the same food that you've been feeding them, but offer them different ways to enjoy it. So they have to work for it. Give dogs ways to forage, cats ways to hunt. And some of those can be pretty simple. So my cat, Mary Shelley, she uses the Trixie activity feeder. So she has an activity board where she has to put her little paws in and dig out the food. Gives her a different way to get that. Or even some simple things, like you can take your toilet paper rolls that you have, and instead of just tossing those out, you can put a piece of kibble or a treat inside and fold the ends and give that to them as a way that they have to enjoy it. That's good for both dogs and cats.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent. So creating some movement, creating some efforts where they have to use their paws to, or teeth or something to get something so that they're working a little to get the food. And the stimulation of that mentally and physically makes that whole experience just a little bit more active, I guess, as opposed to just put the food down and they get it, which sometimes, you know, hey, that's fine too. But sometimes to have that variation, I think is what you're suggesting. Yeah. Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. So tell me a little bit, you have a story about Lily and Tish, two rescues. What's the story about them and the water?
Yes. So, another good thing to do is to think about the ways that animals experience the world. So when we're trying to give them more hobbies, think about how they see, smell, taste, touch, and enjoy the world in different ways. And so Lily and Tish came to me. I went out on their rescue. They're two little dogs. I was on my way to a rescue, and this goes back to how I became an animal chaplain. I was working at a sanctuary. We rescued dogs from dogs, cats, and farmed animals from cruelty and neglect situations. And many of those animals, especially the farmed animals, were not really meant to live long, healthy lives. You know, their role is usually in the food industry. So rescuing a cow or pig that's going to live in a full adult life, it came with a lot of medical issues and a lot of grief and loss as the animals died, not living to full long lives. So I was thinking about animal chaplaincy and learning about that. And I went on this rescue, driving 5 hours across the state. We were going to rescue a bunch of little dogs. And we'd known that they were in some very rough, difficult conditions for months before we were able to go out and finally get permission to go rescue them with the organization. So I thought, it's a 5-hour drive. I was driving by myself, this middle of the pandemic, so we weren't sitting next to each other in the car. I had to take my van all by myself. And I thought, I'll listen to audiobooks. But I found myself really thinking about these dogs, and I ended up not listening to anything and just meditating on these dogs, singing songs to them that we were coming, and praying that be okay. Was about there, and I realized that, you know, they didn't know when we were coming, and
right.
It happened a lot of times in rescues too that. Sometimes we could do a lot for the animals and they would still not survive. And other times the animals, even with, you know, even with our, when we weren't able to get there right away, they would still make it. So there was something within those animals or greater than themselves that was part of them. It's not just about us. The animals themselves are also part of their own rescue and part of their own.
Yes. Rescue. Yes. Yeah. They have their own destiny. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we went out to find these little dogs, and the neighbors cheered when we arrived to rescue that. The vet said that they were in some of the worst conditions that he'd ever seen, but they were able to make it. But a couple of things that I remember from that rescue is we arrived there. There were a bunch of little dogs, but they were completely silent, making no sounds because they were in such such distress and physical stress. And there was no way to give them any water. So when we got there, you know, we wanted to give them water, but in the situation they were in, every bowl or plate or thing that we could find had a crack in it. There was no way to even give them water if we had wanted to. So when I ended up taking two of these little dogs home. We rescued more than 30 little dogs.
Wow.
And I ended up bringing two of them and deciding that I was going to give them a forever home. And so every morning when I give them fresh water, I am so grateful to be able to do that. And I think to myself, may you be confident. May you be at ease. May you be playful. May you be safe. And every time they drink their water, their tails wag back at
them. Aww.
Now, dogs and cats have special taste receptors for fresh water. They can taste the difference between, you know, fresh and tasty water. It has a taste for them that we can't perceive. You know,
yes.
Is water for us, but they have special taste receptors for water. And I think about that when I give them fresh water and I watch their tails wag, how much they enjoy that. And it just helps remind me that their experience of the life with me, it's different from mine, and in some ways really wonderful. And just giving them opportunities to taste, smell, touch different things, and watching to see what are the things that make them happy. And can I give them just a little bit more of what it is that makes them happy?
Yeah, to just have that focus and that awareness, that intention, you know, to not just plop something down, but to think about that's really a beautiful story. And did you feel that having done that kind of inner work in preparation to that rescue that made a difference in how those dogs responded when you got there? Could you feel the difference? Like, say, on a rescue where you hadn't had that opportunity to really let them know, hey, we're coming, we're going to help you, you know?
Well, that was at... I was going to say that was the first rescue I went on, but that's not entirely true. But definitely, I think that preparation was essential to that work. It is emotionally and spiritually difficult work. I mean, it's
right.
It resonates with you. You remember it. It's not easy to see animals in that condition.
Right.
I remember going on a similar rescue about a year later, and we drove onto the property. It was a different experience, a different situation. And when we drove onto that property, the dogs were barking, and I immediately felt, oh, thank goodness, they're not in as bad of shape. They can tell how they feel. You know, sometimes we don't. When our animals are communicating with us, when they're barking, when they're whining, sometimes we don't want that, right? If my dog was barking now, I'd be like, hey, I'm on a podcast.
Yeah, right, right.
That's their way of communicating. And I remember when, you know, I brought my dogs home at first, they were so shut down. They were so scared. They weren't really doing anything because they weren't feeling good enough and they weren't confident enough to express. Now they will bark. Whirls, you know, they started to have behaviors that I wanted to help work on, maybe give them some alternates, but also that's what I love about them. I want them to be playful. I want them to be running. I want them to be exuberant. You know, it may be nice sometimes for us to have our animals be calm in our home. And from a training and behavior perspective, I always recommend people reward that. Don't store that behavior. If your animal is lying quietly beside you, that's a good time to go and get a treat or a special reward. And if you want more of that calm behavior, reward the calm. But so are there ways that we can give them opportunities to express their behaviors?
Yes.
Always. We don't really want, I don't want my dog to be just shut down and not able do things. I want them to express their behaviors.
Great. Well, we're going to take a short little break. When we come back, I want to hear some of your methods for reducing stress and fear and anxiety to have that more happy, healthy home. We'll be back in just a moment.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Hey friends, if you like what you're hearing and want to learn more, check out Dr. Joseph's book, The Human-Animal Connection, Deepening Relationships with Animals and Ourselves. Or visit the website, thehumananimalconnection.org to book an online consultation. Thank you for loving animals. Now back to the show.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Human Animal Connection. I'm your host, Jeannie Joseph, the Executive Director of the Human Animal Connection, speaking with Shel Graves about a wonderful rescue story where they rescued, it looks, sounds like 30 dogs. Did you get all 30 of them? Yeah, okay, wonderful. And of course, two of them went home with you. So, and I know they came home, you know, with a fair amount of stress and anxiety and shutdownness and having not been able to express themselves in any of their normal ways, to bark. And so what was the process like for you to get them from that state? How did you help them release that fear, or heal that fear and stress and anxiety?
Well, one of the keys is to offer them as much choice and control as possible. So where it is possible, let them make decisions. Do they want to approach? Do they not want to approach? So there is the tendency to want to give them a lot of love and, you know, put them right beside us on our laps, but they may not be ready for that. So letting them choose whether they want to come or not, and offering things slowly. So I remember when we first brought them home, you know, we were having our normal quiet evening. We turned on a television show and it just turned out to be too loud and too much. They'd never been in a home that had a television on. So we realized, okay, we can't watch a show that has, you know, driving and maybe thunder happening in the background. We had to turn it on to something quiet like the Great British Bake Off, something very relaxing. You know, now they've, over time, they've experienced good things when they're with us on the couch. And they can now listen to noises. They're not as reactive or worried about them. So now we can watch, you know, more action shows. But in the early days, it was making a quiet, calm environment. And then not taking them out. They didn't need to go out on our usual walk. For them, the exciting thing was maybe just exploring in the front yard. You know,
yes.
First the front yard. And then over time, we could go down the street a little ways, and then we worked up to finally being able to go around the block. But everything was so new to them. You know, you want to give them, you know that they haven't had a lot of experience, so you want to give them more, but really taking it at their pace.
Yes.
So, you know, for them, they didn't need to go out for an exciting walk or on an exciting trip. You know, it was all very exciting enough for them as it was.
Right, the little things, yeah. Well, it's so important when dogs are making little simple choices, like even just, should I go in the yard or not? Should I move over here? Should I go, you know, closer or further? Every little choice they make is a sense of autonomy and a healthy state, getting them out of the hopeless and helpless state that they've been in the traumatic situation. So I'm a real big believer when I would take a dog home for the shelter, it's just for the day sometimes, just letting them be in the yard and choose where, how far or close they want to be to me. Do they want to be against the fence, you know, where they can feel that security? Do they want to be in the sun or in the shade? Or, you know, every little choice helps them feel more in their body and safer and more powerful. So it's beautiful to hear you say that. Yeah. How long have you had them, Lily and Tish?
Yeah, they're having their 5-year gotcha date is coming up in July. So.
Oh, yay. Wonderful. Wonderful. Great. And what are for some of the cat people out there, what are some of the things that we can do to help cats deal with this level of stress?
It's very similar that you can offer them safe places for them. And so for cats, it's important that they have access to not only their food and water and their litter box, but they also really need vertical spaces and hiding spaces. Those are essential for cats as well. So offering them lots of extra places. And if you have more than one cat, making sure that they have a choice, not just multiples for each cat, but an extra one so that everyone gets a choice of where their favorite, most comfortable place is going to be. That's really going to help them.
That's great. That's great. And tell us about Piper Dog, how you made puppuccinos for Piper Dog.
So again, in the shelter environment, dogs feel a lot of fear, anxiety, stress, and frustration, and providing them activities is a way to help reduce that. So when you get behaviors like jumping up and jumping on leash, biting at the leash, giving them some more activities and outlets will help reduce those behaviors. And I definitely saw that in the shelter environment. So Piper was a adolescent pit bull with a lot of energy, and she happened to be blind as well. So her main thing is that she's very social. So she loved you. And as soon as she heard your voice, she would turn around and jump at you. Loved to play tug, so she would get mouthy and she'd grab whatever. It could be your laces or your sleeve. And she was a large dog, more than 60 pounds. She is. So it could be very alarming for the person that was working with her. So we did a lot of things to help her be more calm and relax over time. But some of those were things like giving her other opportunities to do fun things. So the puppuccinos, you can make homemade puppuccinos. You can use some coconut cream and offer that in a little Dixie cup. And so she would go on car rides, good practice for her. And we taught her to walk on leash, but the car rides were also helpful because she was there for some amount of time. And a lot of the dogs were going to be eventually going home with someone, and it would be in a car. Really good practice at this. Giving them something nice like the puppuccino helps them make a good association between their place that they're going and the car ride. So not only is that a fun activity for the dog, but it also helps make a great association. So I recommend, it can be a good training thing as well. So I recommend when you're taking your dog to the vet, sometimes you can just drive to the vet and you can give them a puppuccino, you know, homemade puppuccino, and then drive home. So that the dog, you know, maybe if you've taken your dog to the coffee stand, they get excited when they go there because they know that that might predict a treat. The thing with going to the vet is that very often we've created a really strong one-on-one association that something a little bit uncomfortable or uncertain happens at the vet. So that's why dogs tend to be afraid when they go there. But you can change that up. You can also create a positive association by making them go to the vet and have something fun happen.
Yeah, so we're pairing something that they're not so sure about with something that they feel very good about and building the connection between the two. That's great. Excellent. So what are some of the benefits of meditating with your dog? I know I do that, but tell me what you've experienced with that.
Yeah, so, you know, the animals in our homes are, their bodies can be small, but they take up such a huge place in our hearts and our lives. And we're going to, time that we have with them will always be too short. So just spending some time with your animal companion, with your dog and your cat, just setting it aside. You set aside your phone, set aside your computer show, and just spend time focusing on that animal and your connection with them. I call it, you can call it meditation. I call it doting. Sometimes just spending time focused on them, just really feeling that connection, it helps them be more confident, at ease, playful, and safe. And you'll know, my hope is that at the end of their life, when you're grieving that loss, you know, it's still going to be difficult, but I'd like you to take that seed with you and just remember that you did spend that time with them, building that connection, that you took that time. You're taking time today to think about what would make them more happy. And then you spend that time meditating with your dog or cat, doting on them, just giving them love and really being present and intentional about it. You can carry that with you. So at the at the end of their life, you can remember that you did do that with them.
Yeah. You gave it your best energy and your best focus and your best love and your best time. And that will continue. You know, that can continue. Excellent. Yeah. Yeah. And are you somebody that believes that animals have souls, that they have consciousness that continues after they pass physically? Or what are your thoughts on that?
I believe that we are all connected, and I believe that we will all stay connected, and that the energy and spirit is there. So whatever you believe, I think it's important to make that connection in our lives today, and we can have that to hold on to.
Excellent. Okay. So, Shel, how can people get a hold of you? I know you also do consultations. You're in Seattle, but you do consultations online. ShelGravesAnimal.com. Is that the best way for people to reach you?
Yes, ShelGravesAnimal.com. And if you go on my website and I have a contact form, and you let me know that you heard this podcast, I will send you 10 fun activities for dogs, 10 fun activities for cats, so that you can continue to work on having a happier life with your dogs and cats.
That's great. Yeah. So just putting our intention on making sure that they're happy and playful can improve the lives of us and them and make the world a better place.
And when I'm, you know, coming from a training and behavior standpoint as well, one of the first things that I will usually ask people is, what kinds of activities are they doing? Are they giving opportunities for their dogs and cats to be dogs and cats? Sometimes those can solve quite a few of the behavioral issues. Look for ways that you can say yes to your dogs and cats and let them do some of those activities in ways that are going to work for everybody.
Yes.
So fixing, scratching, barking, meowing at appropriate times, it will resolve a lot of the troubling behaviors, and everyone will have a happier life together.
Oh, that's great. I love that. I love that. Well, here's to the happiness. Happiness with people and your animals, the animals who share your lives. Shel Graves, thank you so much for being a guest on the Human Animal Connection. We'll see you next time. Bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in to the Human Animal Connection Show. Please visit our website, thehumananimalconnection.org. There you can sign up for our free email newsletter, book a consultation, or check out our blogs and resources. Our best-selling book, The Human Animal Connection, is available on Amazon. And your donation of any amount keeps our nonprofit organization providing life-changing services.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.